Hello and welcome to the podcast Alosias for the 31st of May 2021. I'm joined by Carl, and today we're going to be talking about the response to the Section 127 petition that everyone has been signing, and thank you so much for signing. The John Cena cuckoldry to China, which he did it in Chinese, which is the most amazing part of all that. But
yes.
And also the death of Stonewall. So Stonewall being a, let's say, gay tolerance and gay rights organization.
What was the gay rights advocacy movement?
Yeah.
For like 30 years.
And then decided, nah, that's stupid. We're just going to make all gay people trans. And now is dying on its knees.
Which deal with it, gays.
Is amazing to see.
You're all trannies now.
I mean, there's like Douglas Murray, I've heard him talk about them, where he's just like, you know, it's almost like a sort of gay, you know, genocide or something, where it's like there are no gays, only trans. Like some guy comes to me and he's like, I'm attracted to men. And he's like, yeah, you're trans. That's it. Anyway.
Here are some hormones.
So yeah, it's going to be fun. So first thing to do is just do a little bit of shilling, because it's good stuff. So the first thing here is the interview with Posey Parker you did, which was hilarious. People should go and check it out. It's premium on lotuseaters.com. Go and check that out. There are some clips on YouTube as well if people want to go see them. There's some.
It was a really good interview. I mean, like, Posey's a really good conversationalist, and she accepts the weaknesses of the feminist position that she now has left, incidentally.
She doesn't call herself a feminist.
She doesn't call herself feminist, and she doesn't scream how men are evil. Like, well, not that much anymore. But
she?
She'll say men are invading women's spaces. And the thing is,
she's not wrong.
Yeah, that's kind of true. And I don't think that men should be invading women's spaces. I don't think women should be invading men's spaces. So there we go.
Yeah. Anyway, based Posey.
And so. That's why I got reported to prevent.
And ironically, we'll do that at some point.
We'll do that sometime.
Anyway, so the next thing here is just a long list of all the premium content we've got, because there's loads, and I don't want to go through like a million things, but go and check this out. I mean, some of the things I'm just seeing here, so like the Epochs with Critical Drinker that
yeah.
Bo did.
This is great, because I was away, obviously, for the week, so I couldn't do an Epochs with Bo, but he had managed to wrangle Critical Drinker to do a chat about Waterloo, the film, and obviously the historical event, and that's awesome. I'm really, really, really impressed.
Yeah. Also, the 1984 book club, which was good fun. Although I'm looking back at it. I mean, I messaged you earlier. I wish I brought it up in the video, which is just there's no actual reason to believe O'Brien when he says that East Asia and Eurasia are totalitarian socialist dictatorships as well. There's no reason to believe that.
It is just received wisdom, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
because I started thinking from the perspective of someone who lives in North Korea, they're told that the rest of the world is just, you know, even worse than where they are. Well, that's not true. So.
Good point.
Anyway, something to think about. But then again, I mean, if you do that, then you know, nothing's true in the book, and therefore, what's the point? So, problems there.
Wow,
anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. So, let's get into the news. So, first thing here is the response.
Keemstar is going to sue us at some point. So you got a winding neck here.
Anyway. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the response to the Section 127 petition, which thank you for everyone signing. It's still, I think it's at like 16,000 or something now. Please do go and sign it. If you haven't, share it with content creators who are affected by censorship online in the UK. This is the law that criminalizes being grossly offensive online, the law that got Count Dankula in so much trouble for teaching his pug to do a Nazi salute. Anyway, so we signed a petition saying you should get rid of this law. Governments, the Conservatives have said in their manifesto they want to stand up for freedom of expression. They've been given their stonking big majority. Easy peasy thing for them to do. So what did they respond with? So we're going to go through the response here. You can read the full thing on lotuseaters.com in case you want to as well. It's up there. So first thing they say, we are committed to making the UK the safest place to be online while upholding rights to freedom of expression. The Law Commission is currently reviewing harmful and abusive communications online. I mean, first thing, like, the safest place online.
I don't want to be the safest place online. That sounds really boring.
I want to be the freest place online. Anyway, but the Law Commission there they reference is currently reviewing harmful and abusive communications online. I don't trust the Law Commission with a piece of string. I mean, never anything else. So, I mean, if we go to the next thing here, this is just the Free Speech Union listing some of the nonsense the Law Commission is currently up to. So they proposed a while back that they would make Muhammad cartoons illegal because they're Islamophobic.
Oh, right. Bring in the Sharia. I see. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think their opinion is on getting rid of this law that criminalizes being offensive? I mean, literally, the Law Commission wants to bring the Charlie Hebdo cartoons to being illegal, says the Free Speech Union. And they're right when you went and read their stuff. So they say in here, the commission writes, several recent incidences involving inflammatory images create grounds for concern. These include Islamophobic cartoons.
Oh, anything but that. God.
Good God. I mean, how can we have Islamophobic cartoons in the world? So yeah, I don't trust the Law Commission with anything. So them saying that they're currently reviewing it, That's not a great sign now, is it? So they, back to the petition, so we just take another quote from them here. The government recognizes the importance of free speech, particularly in the context of online communications. Then why does Section 127 only apply to online speech? Why is there no equal for offline speech?
Why are we even having this conversation? If you recognize the importance of free speech, why do we need to talk about this at all? You just be like, well, we've got free speech. Go ahead and say what you like.
But they say particularly with online communications. And it's like, right, okay, so if you're overly concerned with online communications, why in this case do we have a law that criminalizes gross offense online? No equal exists offline. I mean, sure, you've got some complaints about Section 5 of the Public Order Act being overused, a lot of stress, but yeah, nothing offline says that if you are grossly offensive, you must be arrested.
Well, isn't Hamza Yousaf changing that?
I suppose in Scotland, yes.
Yeah, so in Scotland there are.
But not for the UK government. So weird that they would say that. So they say, current UK legislation protects the rights to freedom of expression under Article 10 of the European Convention on Human Rights, ECHR. However, this right is qualified and may be restricted in some circumstances, including where there may be a serious intent to cause harm or incite hatred against others. Yeah, that's not it, though, is it? That's not the full quote about the European Convention on Human Rights, of what their version of free speech is. So if you just go to the next link here, this is the document. And if you go to Article 10, which they're referencing, they're saying in here, everyone has the right to freedom of expression, blah, 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 blah. And then point two, this can be limited in the interests of national security, territorial integrity, public safety, prevention of disorder or crime, for the protection of health or morals, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, right, okay, so the point at which you said morals, pointless. It's offensive. It offends morals. I mean, this isn't a protection of free speech in the slightest.
Well, I just want to say, this framework that the European Convention on Human Rights lays out does protect the Sharia. So it is morally offensive to have pictures of the Prophet Muhammad. Therefore, the European Convention on Human Rights is like, yeah, that's right. That's not a human right.
But you could say that offends liberal morals, being the, you know, right to freedom of expression and whatnot. But then this document would as well.
Yes.
So, but I mean, utterly pointless. But also, I can't get over how they reference the European Convention on Human Rights as like, oh, this is the standard for free speech. I'm utterly embarrassed that any government in the Anglosphere would ever do this. The British being the most embarrassing to do that.
So what you're saying is we should write back to them with just Brexit means Brexit, simple as.
Almost. so the thing is, like, this definition here, that you have the right to freedom of expression to do blah, 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 great. Number two, unless you offend people, pathetic. Like, where does that come from? Well, that comes from the UN Declaration of Human Rights, Article 19. It's just essentially copy-pasted from the UN, and we'll get into why it's terrible. So this is the initial definition, because I did a video on this a while back. So this is what was proposed as being Article 19 initially when all the UN came together.
Okay, so everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This includes the right, the freedom to hold opinions without interference and seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media, regardless of frontiers. I can stand by that.
Perfect.
That sounds great.
And you'll see how that's just in line with like the First Amendment's kind of wording, where it's like, you have these freedoms. No caveats, just like, okay, there's a problem later on, you can deal with it. But fundamentally, this is it. We're not just going to write unless anything happens, and therefore you don't have
unless someone finds it a bit offensive, and then maybe you don't.
So, of course, this was rejected at the UN, because it went to the Soviets, and the Soviets were butthurt that people would have human rights. So if we go to the next link here, this is just a... there should be one in between, but don't worry about it. So this is a Cornell University link that I'm referencing. They say the reason that it was based on that was because it was the initial UN proposal, and then the Soviet Union proposed an amendment that would deny this right to Nazi and fascist groups. So they took together Articles 19 and 7. They solved the dilemma by giving everyone two rights. The right to free speech, subject to the limitation of Article 29, and the right to be protected from hate speech.
So
doesn't even make sense.
Is this where the communists first managed to criminalize fascism, basically?
Almost. So this is where the European Convention comes from, which is them saying in the UN, you know, the Americans and the British proposed freedom, and the Soviets were like, nah, freedom is for fascists, therefore get rid of that. And amazingly, we were so stupid we signed that, and that is what is written in the UN Declaration of Human Rights, which is the limitations there. So limitations that you can't engage in hate speech. What is hate speech? Whatever you want it to be.
Speech we hate.
Oh, so you don't have any right to be protected from hate speech. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Oh, I like it. We should definitely have people being protected against forms of speech. That's going to end well.
Anyway, so if we go back one, so it should be the next YouTube link I had there. So you can see they rewrote it, and then it has the first part, which is the the Anglosphere bit. And the next bit, section 3, rights carry duties and responsibilities subject to the restriction 4, respect of the rights of reputations of others, the protection of national security or of public order, or of public health or morals. So that is exactly the words of the text of the UN Declaration, which was written by the Soviets.
Thank you, communists.
Like, thank you. And then you put that in the EU one, and the British government's like, yes, according to the EU, we have these rights to these restrictions. Why are you quoting essentially Soviet propaganda there?
From beyond the grave, the communists are still oppressing us.
I know, right? It's amazing that any European Union country, even an ex-European Union country in this case, are still trying to...
Why don't they adopt the American standards? I just don't understand. The American standard, A, is much more freedom-focused. B, the Americans weren't the Soviet Union, and who would we rather side with?
I know, right. But this has an older problem as well, as you alluded to there, which is it comes from the French. That's the problem. Like, all bad ideas. So they're the socialist version of free speech or human rights, in which you have them until you don't, and then that's it. So you don't have them. So if we go to the French Rights of Man, which is the next link, this is just if you go to Article 11 on here, point 11. Every citizen is therefore entitled to freedom of speech, of expression, and of the press, save that he is liable for the abuse of this freedom in the circumstances laid down by the law. Well, what does that mean?
Well, it means whoever writes the laws gets to write the exceptions.
And there's no limits there. It's just if law says no, you don't have that right.
Yes, because that's how rights work, Callum. You see, they
come from the state.
Well, that's exactly the distinction between the English-speaking world and the continent. They genuinely believe rights are constructed by the state, and the English-speaking world doesn't. And they believe rights are inherent. And this is why the French had to propose. They've got the rights of man and citizen. They proposed the duties of man and citizen as well, but that was shot down. It's like, no, you have to. You have to include a set of duties, prescriptions that you will undertake on behalf of the state if you want the state to be the origin of rights. It has to exist.
But anyway, this is why it's so nonsensical. It originally comes from the French Rights of Man, which is complete in opposite to the American First Amendment or the English Bill of Rights when it was first proposed in the 1600s. It instead says you have these rights unless law, therefore you don't have these rights, which then becomes the UN Declaration of Human Rights, thanks to the Soviets screeching. And then the EU one, which the British government is now using to say we have these rights unless the Soviets say no. That's just so pathetic. Like, why would you appeal to the ECHR for anything? It's garbage.
If Comrade Stalin doesn't want me saying it, I guess I'll zip, right? I mean,
like, I'm sorry, boys. Stalin says no. Yeah. So says the British government. Anyway. Sorry, it's a pet peeve of mine. People don't know the history on this.
Insufferable,
and it's so
though.
Pathetic when you actually look at it. Yeah. Anyway.
I didn't realize it had such a direct lineage, though.
No, it really is direct lineage. Right, okay. It's utterly pathetic between the UN one, the ECHR, and from the French to the UN one, because the Soviets, of course, adopt the French position and therefore are idiots. So if we go to back to the petition, so in here they say, we are committed to ensuring the criminal law keeps pace with the changes in technology, whilst also taking into account harmful communications online. Against this background, the government has asked the Law Commission to review existing laws relating to harmful and abusive communications online. Right, so the Law Commission, that's a pointless conversation then. I mean, the people who want to make Sharia states in this country, I don't care. I don't trust them with anything. I have no faith in them. So, waste of my time there. This review is considering sections 127.1 and 127.2 of the Communications Act, 2003, and section 1 of the Malicious Communications Act, 1988, determining, so question, they're considering those parts.
Yeah.
Are they going to be considering whether to get rid of them? Determining whether these laws need amending and updating with new offences to account for the range of harms online, including pile-on abuse, cyber flashing, and self-harm.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention. You're right, it's not oppressive enough yet. Good point. We'll add a bunch of other things. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not in favour of pile-on abuse, cyber-flashing, and self-harm.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
As a criminal standard. I mean, as a interpersonal thing, sure, but as a crime, I don't even know what that means. Pile-on abuse? I mean, it's on the internet. You just log off. Like, if a bunch of people are messaging you on Twitter, is that going to become a crime?
That's what they're talking about, isn't it? So, exactly. Like, you know, 50 people, that's fine. 100 people, that's too many. I mean, what are we saying?
The Law Commission says, nah, if you bully me on Twitter, you go to jail. I mean, it's just nonsense. Like, I don't even know what I'm dealing with. But the fact that they're not even, you know, petition says, please, can you get rid of this law? It's oppressing the plebs. So sign the plebs. And the government's like, yeah, you're right. We need to expand this law to oppress the plebs further. For what? Bullying each other on Twitter. It's like, I don't know what that has to do with you anyway. So, but also just log off. I really am... Yeah. kind of tired of the cyberbullying mom argument, where it's like, sure, I can agree that there are things online that need to be censored and taken rid of, terrorist content, pedophilia content, blah, 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 blah. But to say that someone's being cyberbullied, I mean, just leave.
They're like, sending me mean tweets.
Like, it's not the TV where you turn it on and it's being beamed into your house. No, you choose to engage with whatever piece of content is online, in which case you choose to engage with whatever site.
But have you considered that actually we're horribly addicted to social media?
I don't think that's the place of the government to come in and then decide that, nah, you being bullied.
Anyway. I don't disagree. I'm just saying from their perspective, they'll be like, yeah, but look at our cattle. They're all horribly addicted to this thing, so we're going to have to make it safe for them to use this thing.
God, they think of us so highly.
Yes, they do.
Anyway, so they finish off here. Existing communication offences are important for protecting people from criminal activity, including online. However, we recognise that some elements pose problems, including vagueness in terms such as grossly offensive, obscene, and indecent. Which the Law Commission highlights in their consultation paper, the Law Commission proposals are therefore an important step towards addressing such limitations. And their solution to that, as you've just laid out, is to expand them, not to retract them. Not to say, okay, yeah, these terms are all, you know, subjective nonsense, like grossly offensive. Well, what does that mean? They're like, nah, we'll just expand the law to criminalize more things then. That's the solution. Instead of just saying, actually, criminalizing offensiveness shouldn't really be the realm of an English government, but okay, whatever. So, also, again, the Law Commission. They're not liberals, so why should we have any faith in them?
Just to be clear, this was a law that was brought in by Tony Blair
yep.
in his attempt to Europeanize Britain.
Yep.
We should be trying to... The Conservatives, by the way, if you're ever listening, you should be trying to Americanize Britain. You should be going hard on the sort of, you know, absolute freedoms that the Americans have. That's the kind of country we should be, and we know because that's the kind of country we made. That's what America is. It's a product of England and English values, not French ones.
Yeah, it's essentially an experiment, and it seems to have worked. So we'll take the good things from there and drop all the nonsense from the Europeans, because that's all trash. So they finally...
And has been for hundreds of years.
Yes. They finalise. The Law Commission has consulted on provisional proposals for reform. They will publish final recommendations by the summer, which the government will consider carefully. Subject to final proposals, the government may be minded to take these forward into legislation, where necessary and appropriate to do so. When considering potential reforms, we will guarantee strong protections for the citizens from harm whilst upholding the right to freedom of expression. That last sentence there. We will guarantee strong protections for citizens from harm whilst upholding the right to freedom of expression. Okay. No, I can sign on to that if we define what harm is. If we define harm as something that actually does cause harm, such as glorifying terrorism, promoting terrorism, or, you know, extending paedophilia around the world, sure, okay. But that's not what this law is about. That has nothing to do with this. And as you define harm, it just means gross offense.
I'm wrong on Twitter. 1,000 people tweeted at me that I was wrong on Twitter. Right, okay. All of those people in the UK are now criminalized.
It's like you can see the harm that comes from terrorist groups promoting their stuff online or paedophile stuff. But where's the harm that comes from being grossly offensive? Point to it. So if we go to the next link here, I mean, this is the pug, the dangerous pug here. What harm did this pug cause? Who died?
I love the fact that this video is still on Twitter, on YouTube.
No, it's not now. I couldn't find it. I had to use Counter Arguments video. Subscribe to Counter Arguments as well. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's
so
good.
The next one here just being the Islam is satanic chap. The Northern Irish pastor who said, Islam is heathen, Islam is satanic, you know, like a Christian.
What do they think the Muslims think of Christianity and Judaism?
It's just people of the book. Like, I love how the government's sort of taking that approach here. It's like, Islam's inclusive, so says the British government. But this guy, he says Islam is heathen and satanic. What harm came of that?
But what do they expect Christians to say about Islam?
So the next one here being the Muslim chap as well. Again, this goes across all strands of British society. Azad Ahmed, who wrote in response to some guys dying in Afghanistan in the British Army, saying that if you go and fight in Afghanistan and Iraq, you should die and go to hell. He wrote that. That's his opinion. He expressed that opinion, you know, the one that you're trying to, you know, safeguard. And for that, he was charged with a crime. What harm came of his opinion? Nothing. Nada. He wrote a Facebook comment.
Yeah.
And he ended up in court. And was given community service and a fine.
I don't think there should be any criminal penalty for this opinion that I really disagree with. And the thing is, there's loads of it at the moment with Israel and Palestine going on. And you can see that there's going to be loads of hate crimes that have been committed here. And it's like, okay, great. Great. You've got these two groups of people who really hate each other, and they're going to hate each other. They've hated each other for 1,400 years. And they're not. That's not going to stop anytime soon. And they will say this on social media. And now the British government is going to be using our taxpayer money to police the offence that's given from each community back and forth.
So, so when they say we will guarantee strong protections for citizens from harm while upholding the right to freedom of expression, I mean, what harm was done by all of this? None. Nada. Then how do you defend freedom of expression by censoring freedom of expression? You don't. It's a nonsense response there. I don't really know what else to say. We need to get that petition to 100,000, because I'd like to see the debate in Parliament. Because, I mean, the moron who's written this response, who doesn't understand anything he's talking about, for one, is one thing. But to see MPs in the Parliament debating this, like, I want to see them debating it and see them actually defend this. Because so far, I mean, this guy hasn't defended it entirely. Even in the slightest, other than just, nah, don't want to do nothing. Because, well, that's the government position on everything.
Well, it's bureaucracy. Yeah. It's easier for it to not move than move.
But anyway, that's the update. Please go sign this petition. Please send it to content creators and your friends and whatnot. Get this shared as wide as possible, because we need to get this to 100,000, because I'd love to see the debate. I want to see the Tory MPs elected in the manifesto with a point of saying, we will defend freedom of expression, defend censorship. Go on, do it. Yeah, I just want to see it.
I especially want the sort of libertarian-leaning ones like Steve Baker to come out and give a principled argument for, I don't know, the rights of man. Like, you know, Steve, you know, he was John Milton, John Stuart Mill. Any ringing a bell? Nah, probably not. Mm. Anyway, China owns your favourite celebrities. Did you know that? They own them literally every single penny, it seems. And the latest example of this has been John Cena. Now, I don't watch wrestling. Do you watch wrestling?
No.
I don't believe you. You look like a secret wrestling fan. I don't know, I felt like it was a good insult.
Okay. I don't think against wrestling, it's just not for me. Like, someone else wants to watch it, sure.
Is there like a big wrestling constituency in our audience that are about to
I don't
give
know,
you
I mean, it's just my.
Am I going to get hell for this?
No, it's just my opinion on all gay porn. I mean, if you want to watch it, go for it. Like.
Right, in defense of wrestling. Why wrestling isn't gay porn? Okay, well, that's throwing me off my off my stride now. Thank you, Callum. But anyway, right. So, yeah, John Cena, you probably know who he is, so I probably don't need to explain, but he's a famous wrestler turned movie star, and he's starring in the latest Fast and Furious movie, which is 9, I think? There have been 9 of these movies of people driving around in cars. Like, people watch this, apparently. This is how out of touch I am with the kids, right? So, anyway, he was giving an interview in Taiwan. You know, that famous Chinese province, where he said that Taiwan would be the first country to watch Fast and Furious 9 in an interview with one of their local broadcasters. This didn't go down well, as you might imagine, and it provoked the ire of China. And so the entire country, the massive empire, billion or so people, got offended by this, apparently, so we're told. And basically this meant that John Cena had to come out and make his groveling apology. Which he did. In Chinese, he uploaded a video to Chinese social media site Weibo? Weibo, right. Apologising, right? We won't play the video because obviously it's not in English, but this is what he says. Hello, China. I am John Cena. At the moment, at the set of Fast and Furious 9, I have been doing many, many, many interviews. So in one interview, I made one mistake. Everybody asked me if I could use Chinese Fast and Furious 9 crew, gave me lots of information, many interviews, a lot of information. I made one mistake that I must say now is very, very, very important. I love and respect China and Chinese people. I'm very, very sorry for my mistake. Apologies. I am sorry. You must understand. I love and respect China and Chinese people. Excuse me. Goodbye. I don't think your tongue was quite in there deep enough, John. A little bit more, just, you know, you really, really get to the back of their throat, isn't it? You know, I mean, what?
I got a question, though. Like, you said he did this all in Chinese.
Yeah.
Does he know Chinese, or has he learned this specially for the apology?
Well, that's a great question that I'm afraid I don't have an answer to. But the point is, I mean, like, talk about groveling. I can't stand it. It's so grim. I mean, like, this is a full-on salam, you know. This is like, oh, God, I'll kiss your feet, master. It's like, okay, how important is China to the Fast and Furious? Well, the answer is very, actually. It turns out that, so Fast and Furious 9, I looked it up on Wikipedia, it took $200 million to make and took $229 million, so profit, I guess. The top markets for its opening weekend, though, were like Russia, 8 million, South Korea, 9 million, Saudi Arabia, 2 million, United Arab Emirates, 2.6 million, China, 136 million. So you can see why he had to, you know, whoever his paymasters were, like, John, you're going to go out there, you're going to memorize this Chinese script, and you're going to say to every single Chinaman, I will kiss your rim. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to imply something.
If it is more than 50% of the audience there.
It is more than 50%, yes. Way more, in fact. It's about 65%.
So he's cucked to China, isn't he?
Exactly. So he, for his paycheck, he is now going to learn Chinese, go out there, prostrate himself, and kiss every Chinese boot that comes along, right? So you can see why he's so Weasley. Like I said, I don't know anything about wrestling, but apparently John Cena's had...
This reminds me, you know the jokes people used to tell? Be like, well, we better learn Chinese now because we're going to need it in 20 years.
Oh, he has, yeah.
It actually has happened. So you've actually got a movie star being like, yeah, I need to learn Chinese or I'm screwed.
Well, I mean, no one in the West is watching this, are they?
No.
Oh. I have no idea that these movies even exist.
Kind of an insult to China. They're all watching it, to be honest. But
yeah, anyway. China, up your game, man. What's been good? You know, basically something made in Japan these days, I think it is.
You know what's funny as well? China Uncensored did a video on this. The number of Western movies that are allowed into China is restricted, mm-hmm. and it's directed by the Communist Party, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they pick which movies they want to send through. Mm-hmm. So there's also fierce competition to even get your movie into the market. So.
And I should have got the movie posters up because I mean the latest Star Wars one where it's got the actors and one of them is black and it's fine, it's normal, and then the Chinese one he's tiny, he's been shrunk.
They cut the kissing scene between the interracial.
And they did.
Characters.
Anyway, there was a response by one of his longtime nemeses in the world of wrestling. Like I said, I don't know anything about wrestling, but I've heard of the CM Punk guy before, and he seems to have a pretty cool attitude. Basically, they had a lengthy rivalry during their time together in WWE, and so CM Punk, on his Twitter bio, changed it to say, Taiwan is a country. Chad. Absolute Chad move. But also, you can see who's bought and paid for by the CCP, can't you? You can see who makes their money from Chinese gold and who doesn't. And who, you know, which one do you find more respectable is the question. But anyway, this is obviously not the first time that a celebrity, a Western celebrity, has had to do this. Let's take a look at, say, LeBron James in 2019 as the Free Hong Kong protests were going on. And everyone was like, yeah, good point. Hong Kong shouldn't be oppressed by the communist Chinese. He came out and said, well, hang on a second. Freedom of speech is kind of good, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others, when you only think about yourself. I hope you're listening to this, John Cena. When you say something like Taiwan is a country or that the people of Hong Kong deserve free speech, I hope you're listening to LeBron James, your fellow serf in shackles, Chinese shackles.
Communist dimmies over here.
Communist dimmies. You know, wearing your golden chains. But at times there are ramifications. So many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's right. Physical harm from the free speech of the Hong Kongers.
Those poor police officers. Like when they're clubbing down the people, oh, I've got to listen to this.
Well, that's a good point. But remember, LeBron James is paid to put a ball through a hoop, not to think. So, you know. Don't take what he's saying too seriously. But anyway...
So Chappie went to North Korea as well.
No, that's Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
So just be careful what we tweet and what we say and what we do. Even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, it can have a lot of negativity that comes with it, but he kind of messed that up. But I mean, like I said, he's not paid to tweet, he's paid to dunk. Good thing he's like 10 feet tall. And no, I wouldn't say that to his face because he'd probably kick my ass. He's massive. But anyway, obviously, a lot of these sort of Hong Kong protesters objected to this double standard. They were like, well, look, you know, black you NBA players in the West are perfectly happy to be political, saying things like Black Lives Matter, but Hong Kong lives also matter. So what now? And he was just like, shh, they don't. Anyway, so yeah, this was, of course, definitely about money. It's all about money, and the good thing that he even mentions money in it, because otherwise it would have been a bit more shameful than it already was. Speaking of shameful, LeBron Shames was trending on Twitter because of him doing this. Oof, That's all I'm saying. But I guess that he got lots of money. He got 2 or 3 stacks from the Chinese, so that's fine. No problem at all. Nothing to be concerned about. China's buying off all of our celebrities. Or anyone of any cultural influence, China owns them. And they will literally grovel. So, man, hold your free speech. Hold your free speech. There are some things that are offensive, like Hong Kong isn't a part of China, or that Taiwan isn't a part of China. You know, just... You know, don't mention the Uyghurs either. Shh.
I mean, that's the worst part of this is when they're in America being like, hashtag BLM, oh, we're being oppressed.
Take the knee.
The US is genociding black people, but Xinjiang. How long until Colin Kaepernick does this as well? I mean, with all his activism.
It's surely only a matter of time. But
he's in his Chinese lessons right now.
But this is the point, though. It's the obvious double standard, but it's the obvious obsequiousness to what is, frankly, a genocidal fascist regime. And the Chinese government and the members of the party that we see from the sort of Western-facing world, they're not exactly good people. You know, they seem to be total scum. But anyway, let's move on. So recently they censored the Friends reunion. Ah, yes, that bastion of subversion. Western subversion. Oh, censor Friends. We can't have a boy band called BTS, Lady Gaga, or Justin Bieber. Okay, this is getting kind of base now. God damn it. But apparently they've all caused controversy in China.
How?
Presumably because they're gay?
Well, that's it.
Or they're gay activists?
I thought they'd done something more then. I thought they'd been like, yeah, communism's bad, but...
Yeah, because, I mean, apparently any mentions of LGBTQ and the Friends reunion were also censored.
Right.
So I assume that these people have spoken on Twitter positively about leftist activism. And the leftists in China were like, oh, no, you don't. But this was really popular in China, actually. So the hashtag Friends on Weibo had like more than 1.2 billion views. So it's really popular in China for some reason, which is amazing because it's deeply unpopular here because of the millennials. And it's very problematic. But anyway, the correct response, of course, is to do what South Park did. In 2019, South Park got scrubbed from China. Which makes you wonder how it was legal in China in the first place.
Yeah.
Really makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It's never been too kind to China anyway.
But... It's never been too kind to anything. That was always the gold of it. But yeah, Randy Marsh was, of course, put into a forced labor camp.
Do you not remember the 2008 episode they did on the Olympics? Mm-hmm. In which they had all the Chinese essentially as like robots, and then Cartman being really racist and thinking that they were going to take over the world by murdering everyone.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen. That wasn't weirdly pathetic.
Well, no, he thought that literally anyone who looked Chinese was an agent of the communists.
Moving on.
John coughs in the corner.
John sweaty, so God. So, yeah, anyway, so South Park got scrubbed from Chinese media and internet everywhere. And so the chaps from South
Matt
Park,
Matt
Stone, Trey Parker, put out an apology. Like the NBA, the National Basketball Association, we welcome the Chinese censors into our homes and into our hearts. We too love money more than freedom and democracy. Z doesn't look like Winnie the Pooh at all. Long live the great Communist Party of China. May this autumn's sorghum harvest be bountiful. We good now, China. It's the way to do it. But the worst part about all of this, right, and this is the bit I hate the most, is the... Okay, when I say it here, there's a part of me that's got a kind of grudging respect for it, but it's the unbelievable smugness of the Chinese authorities when it comes to this. So the Global Times, a tabloid paper that's obviously... I mean, for some reason, Newsweek tell us that it's under the auspices of the Communist Party of China. It's like, duh, you know, obviously... but, you know, a Chinese newspaper, which means a mouthpiece of the CCP, praised Cena for the timely apology in an editorial on Wednesday that reveals his willingness to uphold the values of China.
What, being a serf? How does that demonstrate any value other than just being a pathetic serf?
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not the one who is promoting Chinese values, which, again, I don't even think are Chinese values. What they're talking about is just the values of the Communist Party, and that means German values. It always comes back to it, doesn't it? Always. Anyway, but he sets a good example for all Westerners to follow. That's right. Follow John Cena's good example, says Global Times, mouthpiece of the Chinese Communist Party. Just get down on your knees. Just get down and start kissing this. Oh, lick those boots. Go on. Just get all the dirt out of them. You know you want to.
You know,
Western celebrities.
That's a song as well in the Communist Chinese Party.
Is it?
Follow Lei Fang's good example. Oh, loyal to the party. You know, then it just sings about him being a cuck.
I can't stand it. His attitude is, quote, something other Westerners, especially Hollywood stars, should learn from and follow. I agree. I think all of the Western stars should do it. All of them should come out and just absolutely bend over for the Communist Party of China. They will treat you with dignity and respect, I'm sure. But the point is, if all of our celebrities do this, it will at least be a good example to the rest of us. Don't be like them. Don't be on the payroll of China. Cena showed that he realizes the importance of respecting the One China principle, which is a red line for Chinese people. You mean it's the CCP. Everything, when you say any of this, is CCP. And has also demonstrated that he knows how important the Taiwan question is to the people of China by quickly apologizing for his mistake. Yes. And he would have been absolutely ruined financially had he not. But anyway, lots of people, of course, were not happy with this in China. Many people were replying. I mean, like, the top comment on this had like 8,900 likes. Please say in Chinese, Taiwan is a part of China, otherwise we won't accept your apology. Because that's the interesting bit about his apology, is he didn't actually say anything about Taiwan. John. It's not good enough. I don't think it's good enough. If you're going to apologize, if you're going to get on your knees and absolutely suck the Chinese off, do it properly, for the love of God. You know, John, if you're going to humiliate yourself in public, make it truly debasing. Don't, like, skirt around the edges and give them room to come and nip at your heels some more. Honestly, John, you're embarrassing us all by not bowing down enough. Sorry, I know I'm going on, but I really hate this. Anyway.
But I have to wonder, when they say it was, you know, unpopular in China, how many people... Because it very much reminds me of, like, you've offended a billion Muslims, you know, when they say you offended a billion Chinese, and it's like, yeah, how many, though? How many people are actually annoyed?
Well, obviously, it's exactly the same principle of universalization that's being applied. So it's like, look, I speak for the Chinese people. Yeah. How do you know? Because I'm the only one who allows them to speak.
I'm the only one on Weibo who's not been banned.
I am the censor, you know? So I speak for the Chinese people because I'm the Chinese Communist Party. I determine what the Chinese people want to say because I'm in charge of it. But yeah, anyway, so this is horrific, frankly. But then you get into, like, okay, so what kind of people are you apologizing to? You know, you're apologizing to people who are currently undergoing, committing what has been described by Pompeo as he was leaving office as a genocide. And this has been a widely accepted thing now, but we'll get to that in a second.
What is it, the sixth?
Well, the sixth genocide?
Something like that. Oh, since the party came to power. So,
I dread to think how many people the party of Mao have killed. But anyway, let's first talk about what the Chinese did to Australia, right? So the Chinese have been, there have been some, like a back and forth trade embargoes with Australia. This has been hurting China as well. So they've been going without raw materials that they wanted from Australia because the Australians are like, well, we're not John Cena and we're not just going to bend over. And so the Chinese have responded with an absolutely disgusting propaganda war. But I mean, nothing really is below what I would expect from the Chinese government. They posted a fake image of an Australian soldier killing an Afghan child. Wasn't real, didn't happen, doesn't matter. And the Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison, said, well, Beijing should be ashamed. And Beijing were like, ha ha ha, ha. We don't know what that means. and I'm not even joking, actually. They were literally like, we're not ashamed of anything. We don't have morals.
No, they're not.
And I mean it. Yeah, I mean it. They are not ashamed of anything. And so appealing to their sense of shame must have been very amusing in CCP board meetings. But yeah, no, this wasn't true. Doesn't matter. And then we have the latest one, which, I mean, like I said, there's a part of me that kind of admires the brass balls, but then when you realize that, hang on, we're talking about the worst people on earth, then you really have to stop and say, okay, they can't be allowed to continue like this, right? So Britain, Canada, and the European Union recently imposed sanctions against Chinese officials in March over what the United States calls a genocide perpetrated against the Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang. We've seen lots of evidence of this. There have been lots of escapees saying, well, this is what they're doing. They're forcibly, you know, they're making us, you know, do all this forced work. There have been a million people taken off to the camps. They're forcing us to, like, cohabit with Chinese men and things like this. All of these, like, weird and terrible things that are looking like a genocide.
I mean, we have video footage of the trains and the camps.
We do. And I'm sure that, and that's without us having defeated China in a war. Like, normally all this stuff comes out after the power has been defeated. But China, of course, retaliated by imposing sanctions on several British MPs and MEPs who belong to the Inter-Parliamentary Alliance on China. Of course, you know, the forced sterilizations, labor camps, blah, blah, blah. We won't go into it. But the Chinese response to this is, there is no forced labor in China. There are no such things as concentration camps in Xinjiang. We have literally seen the satellite images of these labor camps. We have evidence from witnesses and escapees. What more do we need?
Also, you won't let us go there and film.
Yes, and you won't let anyone go there. And you deny they exist.
Like, the only time you do, it's on a guided tour.
Yeah. So, I mean, what more do we need? But anyway, as they say, there's no war in Ba Sing Se. There's no concentration camps in Xinjiang. And there's no such thing as genocide. Our European friends know what is genocide. Referring, of course, to Nazi Germany.
It's almost like they're bigging up the Germans.
Well, no, it's so weird. It's like, you know, you being like, okay, well, look, you're committing a genocide. It's like, well, you'd know all about genocide, wouldn't you, Germany? I mean, yeah, they would. I mean, they've recently apologized for the genocide of the Herero, which is the first genocide of the 20th century, but not the first genocide committed by the Germans in the 20th century. They've recently apologized for that. But the thing is, China, what you're failing to understand there is that when the Germans say, hey, you're committing a genocide, they're the ones with the experience. And so going, well, you would know. Yes, they would. They would exactly know what a genocide looks like. And so when they say you're committing a genocide, well, there's a good chance they're right. Just saying.
But also China's saying that you're not wrong with that response. They're not denying it.
No. They're saying, oh, you Germans have got morals now, do you? That was a mistake, wasn't it? It means you have to take responsibility for the genocide you commit. Well, unlike us, unlike the Chinese Communist Party, we don't take responsibility for any of it. It's not even happening. Deal with it. Unbelievably evil. Unbelievably evil.
I mean, you were saying it before we started, but it really is like the guys who know they're the villain in the story,
yeah,
I just fully embrace it.
Yes.
Just absolutely no care.
But this is the thing, right? Because after we read all these books about China, it's very clear that there are no... The historical moral standards that the Chinese had have been erased by the communists. You know, anything that could be considered to be moral has been erased. And so you've got this purely materialist philosophy that has stamped out traditional moral standards. And so now it's all about power. Everything is about advantage. Everything is about advantage is the only way I can describe it. And so for a bunch of people to sit there and go, well, it's wrong for you to do that. Not from their perspective. They don't have morals like we have. I mean, we were watching the interview, the speech by Di Dongcheng. Like, it's just, we are dealing with amoral people. People who don't consider morality to be an operant factor in the world. They're people for whom morality is something laughable. You know, they point to other people and laugh at them. Oh, Germany, are you talking to us about genocides? Well, I guess they're not anymore. What's the point? I hate it. But, I mean, you know, thank God our celebrities are doing their part to take as much money from this genocidal regime as they can. God forbid.
It's just the double standard as well. In the West, cries about literally the smallest thing possible. That usually doesn't even exist.
Oh, did you get dogpiled on Twitter?
In the East. Genocide. Keep my mouth shut.
Anyway. Genocide? It's your problem, isn't it, Germany? Not ours.
Anyway, let's finish off on a nice white pill. So,
okay, yeah, go.
So this is going to be good fun. So Stonewall is dying on its knees, and it's beautiful to see, and you'll see why. So this is the first story here. So human rights body leaves Stonewall diversity scheme. So, you know, these intimidation rackets where they come around and say, you must give us money to say that you're an inclusive person, and if you don't, we'll denounce you as far right. So what do? You pay the money because you don't want to be screwed. So the Equality and Human Rights Commission says that it told Stonewall it would be leaving the diversity championship scheme in March. Members pay Stonewall a fee and allow it to vet their internal policies, such as who can use their toilets and changing facilities. The EHRC says it did not constitute best value for money.
You absolute cheapskates. that's the only...
I can't get over the phrase, like, we pay these people to tell us who can use the bathrooms and they're not value for money. No S! what did you think you were going to get out of it?
But that's just such a traditional British skinflint response. Like, because really, they should be addressing this on the moral standards. Like, it's about, no, there are deep underlying philosophical concerns about the very nature of what you're trying to do here and why we're allowing this to go on, and we should be arguing from, you know, traditional British values, or it's proper for this to be this and that to be that. But instead, it's like, well, it's just, it costs money.
Yeah. They were never value for money.
Obviously.
I mean, from day one, it was not about being value for money. You know it's because of their recent turn in ideology that has made them beyond the pale for anyone, even these companies who want to pretend to be woke every 2 seconds. So just some figures as well. Stonewall, for the latest figures we have from them, 2019, made £8.3 million. It's good for some. That's the intimidation racket.
I tell you what, EHRC, we'll vet who can use your toilets for about $5 million. We'll do it.
We'll give you a discount.
Yeah. Anyway. We'll go as low as four. Okay, four. Deal.
If you insist. Oh, God. Could you imagine getting paid $4 million just to tell people, yeah, these people can use the bathroom, these people can't. God. Like, security guards do it for what? Like £15 an hour if they're lucky?
I could create an algorithm to do it.
Anyway, so we go to the next one here. This is Stonewall's boss facing criticism for the new strategy. The new strategy being to say that all gays are trans and starting a brave there. So she says in here, so Miss Kelly said, while Stonewall believed in freedom of expression, it was, quote, not without a limit.
Oh, good. We've got the Soviet view on freedom of speech.
Quote, with all beliefs, including controversial beliefs, there is a right to express those beliefs publicly, and where they're harmful or damaging, whether it's anti-Semitic beliefs, gender-critical beliefs, beliefs about disability, we have legal systems that are put in place to make sure people can't be harmed by that. Gender-critical beliefs. People need to protect it from gender-critical beliefs. The state has to intervene and shut them down. Posey Parker saying women are women.
I hate the very nature that it is beliefs that can be harmful. The thing is, what annoys me the most about this is completely antithetical to the common law tradition. The common law tradition is that actions are what cause harm. It's the action, the act of the thing. The demonstrable, you know, event one to event two for circumstance two. It's never about what you believe.
It's just, yeah, I mean, it's the whole thing of, like, your beliefs cause harm. I mean, the SJW is on campus saying your speech is violence. That's it.
Well, it's no different to what the Chinese are saying. Well, he has the belief that Taiwan's a country.
Yeah.
Yeah, the belief that the people of Hong Kong had free speech. Anyway. Quick, John Cena, get out there and deal with it.
So after comparing Posey Parker and all the women's rights activists to anti-Semites, challenge as to whether it might be considered offensive to compare anti-Semitic beliefs to gender-critical beliefs, she insisted it was appropriate.
They're basically Nazis. Just say it.
If you think women are women, you hate the Jews. Quote, we're talking about protected groups. We're talking about people that are protected on the basis of their sexuality. People that are protected on the basis of their gender identity. People who are protected on the basis of their race. And that's why they think the analogy is apt. I mean, just look at the language there. Protected. Protected groups.
Mm.
I mean, all of this is anti-liberal to the core. Yep. I mean, just you belong to this group, so you're protected in law.
Enjoy your class politics.
Why can't we just treat them as fellow citizens? Surely that's what everyone was asking for. No, that went out the window ages ago. That's not what this is about. Anyway, so they say in here, journalist and former Tory MP Matthew Paris, one of Stonewall's 14 founders, recently suggested that the charity had lost its way.
Oh, no kidding, Matthew.
Like, just a little bit.
No. This is exactly what you had in mind when you founded it, wasn't it, Matthew?
So like, for people who don't know, like Stonewall is one of these age-old institutions in Britain that's been fighting for gay tolerance and gay acceptance and now for everyone being trans, including your mother. So, I mean, it's really like it went off the deep end a long time ago by the looks of it. It wasn't caring about tolerance or acceptance. You know, like we've spoken about this before, like go to a pride parade in Japan, they're all wearing suits being like, tolerate me. That's exactly right. That's exactly what you want. You know, as liberals, go for it. But
it's not a degenerate fetish parade.
Not you know, kids seeing grown men in dog costumes. And then the same thing here, where it's like, this has nothing to do with tolerance or acceptance. This is entirely to do with ideological promotion, intersectionally, specifically. So if we go on to the next thing here, this is some other news. So major public sector bodies quit Stonewall diversity training as trans rights row intensifies. The Telegraph has learned that at least five other major public bodies who have quietly pulled since 2019. The scheme counts 250 government departments and public bodies among its members. They pay thousands for guidance on gender-neutral spaces, pronouns, trans inclusion, and are ranked on the charity's workplace index. Nothing. I mean, just God, worthless work.
We are in the wrong line of employment. Like, we could have done this. And when they were like, well, hang on a second. Are you suggesting that actually people who don't agree that trans women and women are like Nazis, we could have just said, no, that's not what we're saying. And kept all of that money.
Yeah.
That was a great gravy train that
they
were
just kept the mouth shut. They could have kept the 8 million going. I mean, God knows how much they've been in 2020, 2021. I assume it's going to go down quite a bit. But they're thinking of being like 250 government departments. This is our money, remember?
Yep.
This is the money you pay in taxes is getting given to these hucksters.
Hey, conservatives. Do you remember that you're fucking conservatives? God, I'm sorry.
No, I have some good news for you in a minute.
Shouldn't have sworn.
As scrutiny of the program grows, last week, 850 members disappeared from public view on the website. 850. Gone. All of those diversity champions, they're all gone. Just 850 diversity champions disappeared. So the House of Commons said it did not renew its membership for 2022. Finally, for Christ's sake. The Driver and Vehicle Licensing Agency, DVLA, said it expired in December, while ACAS, the Employment Dispute Service, said it had withdrawn for cost reasons last June. It wasn't for cost reasons. You could have done that anytime if it was cost reasons. It's not. So it's because of their insane ideology, and you should have done this a long time ago. Mm. Dorset Police, again, the police, one of the multiple forces previously listed as part of the scheme, said it is not now a member. The Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government said it left in 2019. Meanwhile, the Crown Prosecution Service, which faced legal challenge over its trans guidance, said, quote, "We are reviewing our Stonewall membership and will shortly make the decision whether or not to continue." Shouldn't be involved. No government should be involved in partisan campaigning here for an insane ideology. So no. So the good news for you here is Liz Truss.
She is good news.
Based in Red Pilled, Liz Truss saying Liz Truss urges government official withdrawal from Stonewall diversity scheme. She wants the entire government departments to all withdraw from this and stop giving them money. Because why should you? What's the argument?
Sure. But why did it take 11 years of conservative government to get to this point?
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yes.
But Liz Truss doing the right thing here. Her and Kevin Badenoch just knocking down all the nonsense left, right and centre. I mean, it's embarrassing to see people like Boris and whatnot not quite get it. Especially when they keep saying things like, there's nothing wrong with being woke.
Oh, yeah. And what was the other thing that Dominic Cummings said? They were all in a faff about something because they were worried about being called racist.
It's pathetic.
It's like, when will they not call you racist? They think the entire country's racist. Like, everything about the Conservative Party is racist. Don't worry about their opinion.
If it's liberal or conservative, it is racist. That's their standard.
Yeah.
There is no concern for whether or not there is any racial discrimination. That's not the game they're playing. Anyway, so Liz Truss, the Equalities Minister, is pushing for an all-government departments to withdraw from the Stonewall employment scheme following the transgender rights row. The Times understands that responsibility for coordinating participation in the scheme rests with the Cabinet Office. The scheme counts 250 government bodies with 850 other members, blah, 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 which pay for issues on pronouns and gender-neutral spaces, something government should not be wasting our money on.
No.
The Cabinet Office there being the ones who make the decision, so it's got to be the Cabinet that make that decision there. Make the right one. Make the right one and stop funding this. There is no reason to be involved in this sort of thing.
Any woke stuff, any Islamic stuff, any Christian stuff, any Jewish stuff, any based in red-pilled stuff, you know, just don't fund any of it. The government shouldn't be funding any of this stuff at all in any circumstance.
I mean, the worst example here being the police. I mean, meant to be a non-partisan organization to the root, and instead is extremely partisan. I mean, just openly giving money to this insane organization here.
I just love this. Likening gender-critical beliefs to anti-Semitism. Look, if you're not pro-trans, you're a Nazi.
Yeah.
Right.
That's their viewpoint. So if we go to the next one here, so this is just some of the things that Stonewall has done recently that are insane. So this is from Fair Play for Women, so a turf group. Stonewall advice cost the ONS over $100,000 in legal bills and damaged the census. Why are public bodies everywhere near them, let alone paying for the privilege? So this is
the fact
that there was the census and it was about whether or not, what was it? The question was, do you identify your gender or was it meant to be sex? And there was a huge debate as the census came up, and then they changed their minds halfway through doing it. So it kind of ruined the whole thing there.
Yeah.
So because you had so many nonsense responses. So that
but luckily this only affects about 1% of the population. So
yeah, but the entire census section for that is now just worthless because half of them will have one answer, half of them will have another answer for different questions.
Yeah.
So... Thanks, Stonewall. Thanks for doing good there, costing everyone $100,000 for a pointless argument about pushing transgenderism in the census instead of just trying to find out the sex of the individuals in the census, which would be far more useful. I mean, you can have both questions if you want, but no, they wanted it to be one, not the other. Disgusting.
Mm.
The next one here is police forces. So Fair Play for Women sending messages to every police force in Britain saying if there was a male person who identified as female and you arrested them for raping a female, what would you put them down as on the card? How on earth has it come to this? So if you scroll back up, police forces admitting that they would record a male rapist as female if that's how they self-identify. Now, as you can see here, Thames Valley Police responding, in this scenario, a male-born person self-identifying as a female should be recorded as a female on our source system.
Oh, God, I hate this so much. So, okay, God bless our police up and down the country, but you're not academics, and that really shows when you get into things like this. You can't self-identify as a female, you self-identify as a woman, because female is not a gender role, it's a description of a biological category. You can't change from being male to female, you can change from being man to woman by intersectional logic, by their own standards. They accept at least that that is still something that's not actually physically possible, although I'm sure they're going to try and work on that. But that you should never have accepted the framing of this. You can't have a male-born person self-identify as a female, but they can become a woman, according to trans logic. God damn it.
Yeah, and all of these police forces being lectured by Stonewall, you saw a couple of them breaking ties. All of them should break ties. None of them should have had anything to do with them. So if we go to the next one here, this is just them saying that they wrote to every police force. These aren't one-offs. We asked every police force in the UK. 16 responded, all saying that they would record male crime as female, and it's what the perpetrator wanted. God, I imagine that.
Victim rights.
If the rapist wants it, God. But they post the evidence, I'm not going to through it all, but they post all of the responses they got, and all of them, I was like, yes, we would record the male rapist as a woman because it's what he would have wanted.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. But, my low standards here.
look what they've done to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Look what we're accepting at this point.
Yeah, look at what we're... Exactly, right? The slippery slope is real. In fact, I'll do a video about that at some point. But that's the thing. You... Record them as woman if you have to, but don't record them as female because it's just not true. And it will never be true. And they admit that it'll never be true.
But even there, don't record them as a woman.
Obviously.
Just put it down as a man, for Christ's sake. And put them in the right prison. Otherwise, they'll rape the inmates, as has already happened. Anyway, so we go to the next one here. So this is them posting that when it comes to male crimes, small misclarification errors make a huge difference. Today, at least 2/3 of the female sex offenders in prison were born male.
Wow.
Sorry.
Why
at least
that real?
1/3, not 2/3. So 1/3 of all female sex offenders are men. It's such a joke.
The misogyny lobby is doing great guns these days, though, aren't they?
A third of all female sex offenders are men. What a statistic. What a statistic.
Presumably not a problem they have in China, incidentally.
thanks, Stonewall. Yeah. So we go to the next one here. So they also say about here, just look at the amount of people they have endorsing them. So why are the police recording male rapists as female? Who would have suggested this mad idea? Take a look at all the police forces who are in Stonewall's champions. And then they list all the police forces that are champions for Stonewall. And it's, all of them. So what are you expecting? So we go to the next one here. This is just Ho's Mad. The Ho Mad in this instance. Owen Jones.
The hounding of Stonewall by the same media outlets that poured bile and hatred on gay people for decades is grotesque. Those who hound trans people today, all history will ever remember you for, is as hateful persecutors of a marginalised minority. That's your only contribution. Oh, cry harder, Owen. Cry harder. Oh, my God.
I still love just the marginalised minority here, being trans activists, not trans people, because most trans people don't buy into any of that crap. So if we go to the next one here...
Owen Jones is furiously dilating as he types that.
So the next link is a response to this, in which they're just like, marginalised. And then there's just a video of them scrolling through the diversity champions.
Yeah.
And it's just a miles-long list of every police force, emergency service... or university. I mean, if you can think of it, they've signed up to this.
I'm not allowed to speak at any of these organizations. That's what marginalized looks like. I'm not allowed to speak to any of these organizations.
You can, Owen. So can all your communist friends.
Yeah. You get paid to do it.
Like, they can all go, but they're the marginalized ones.
I mean, every single...
You know what marginalization looks like.
Yeah, this is what real marginalization looks like.
I mean, look at it. It just keeps going.
It really does. God.
God. It's unbelievable. I mean, just every company you can think of, every organization you can think of.
What hasn't signed on to this?
Zurich Insurance there.
But what hasn't signed on? That'd be a much shorter list, surely.
Us.
Yeah.
Local governments.
Local
councils. Every council.
Oh my
every
God.
Council you can think of is on there. I mean, your council, wherever you live.
And of course, the BBC.
Sky
naturally.
News, ITV. Yeah. Of course, they have.
Yep.
Like,
this is
Serco.
Wild.
God,
this
Serco.
Is.
You better have a circle on that.
I'm really curious if, the military industrial complex, GlaxoSmithKline, of course they have. Of course all the sports have.
Well, MI5 are. MI6 are on there.
Of course they have. There we go, of course.
Probably running the bloody thing.
Royal British Legion. Oh, God.
Virgin Holidays, Uber. Transport for London. Thomas Cook Group, Rail Network, Skyscanner.
I mean,
Entertainment.
In their defense, this is the second most effective grift I've ever seen.
I know, right?
Slightly behind Black Lives Matter.
But if they just kept their mouth shut and not accused all the Turfs of being anti-Semites, they could have kept it going. but now it's dying. So, I mean, that's a good victory. That's a good one to see that a incredibly radical organization that is pushing wokest nonsense deserves to die on its knees, and it is dying on its knees.
And I forgot to put my earpiece in.
But it's also just, I like to see that this is a nice turning point.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, I mean, for all the S we give the government, I mean, you getting mad there as a great example. They do have some good points on this at times. I mean, Liz Truss being the bastion of sanity within the government.
Yeah.
On this whole stuff.
Well, Liz Truss is pretty much the only one I trust with anything these days.
Her and Kemi Badenoch. I mean, just joint prime ministership forever.
Yeah.
Like, Lord Protector of Britain, please. Anyway, that's all. Let's go to the video comments.
Hey guys, I'm just about to have lunch in a second, but I decided to record this first. Because Carl, when you get this on Monday, here's the best way of putting this. The video messages are slowly sort of degrading into autistic screeching about keto and autistic screeching about bread loving. And I disavow both sides, because it's idiotic on both sides. Just have bread in moderation. It's fine, just have self-control and not just submit to vice. Good God, all of you. By the way, guys, in reference to Friday, when you said being an Orthodox is always best, not always. If you just sort of unorthodoxly did, like, flailed your arm around, no, it's not very effective. But for the most part, yes. Keyword, for the most part. There are exceptions to every general rule, after all. But yeah, kind of. More or less correct.
What have you guys been arguing about?
I don't actually know. I don't know what's in reference to. Right. Presumably something Josh did.
Well,
but on the keto wars, I kind of find it like doing an Israel Palestine, just being like, you know, because I mean that's the thing about you.
Bread loving Palestinians.
Yeah, but
Chad, I mean, keto Israelis.
I mean, in the sense that, like, the thing that really puts me off about the whole conversation about that is the activists for both sides were so extreme. Mm. You either have to be on their side or you're scum. And I want to do that, essentially. Like, we've already organized a fight, actually. I don't know if I told you about this. So the next live event, we're going to get Big Oil Guy to fight off against TF Allspark in a boxing match.
Okay.
And then that's the decider. And then whatever side wins, that's what we're all going with.
Well, no, because you're assuming that reality has any impact on my keto sharia.
Okay.
Keto sharia is entirely a priori. It doesn't matter what reality says. This is the truth and the way and the light. Thank you.
What? So if everyone doing keto starts getting heart attacks? Reality is a diet traitor.
Reality is a counter-revolutionary force. Thank
against
you very
my
much.
Diet.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's go for the next one.
When the apocalypse comes, I'll be ready. I'm ready to eat my neighbor's ass if I have to. I'm not going to let my daughters starve. Okay, now the globalists want to take my guns away. I'm not going to let them take my guns. I'm a proud American, and I will break the conditioning. You know, Hillary Clinton, she's got a lot to do with Jeffrey Epstein. And, you know, she is a demon. She's got flies on her. So when the apocalypse comes, I will eat my neighbor's ass.
I mean, how does he do it, man, you know? I bet he's feeling it. Like, how does Alex Jones keep up his voice when he's doing things?
Well, it's the same voice whenever you talk to him. So it's obviously just how he sounds. But I just want to say, I stand by absolutely everything that the Alex Jones impersonator there just said. Where's he wrong? You know, point to the lie, point to the impropriety. That's all I'm saying.
I'm trying to find, someone did like a redux of Alex Jones singing about eating your ass. And they like made like clay models of him dancing as well. And it's really well done. I'll put it in the chat when I find it.
Okay. Let's go for that old guy.
Morning, chaps. Before this thing with TF gets out of hand, I thought I'd better offer a little olive branch. So I had a little root around in my library this morning. TF, just let me know where to send it. You can have my old sequel for Dummies.
I feel that this has grown wildly out of control in my absence. I hope you're better after your surgery, though.
Is this like the prophets who come back and find all their followers killing each other?
Well, this is like Karl Marx being like, well, I'm not a Marxist.
Yeah. I just found the video. I'm going to send it to John. Cause...
All right, let's do the next one.
Hi, guys. It's a nice day.
Name
so
Sunday,
I thought I'd get myself up and go to the gym early before I start my work. That's not why I'm commenting, no. I'm commenting to ask whether you guys think there's a contradiction between seeing women as a thick concept But then when the leftists harp on about representation and popular culture on TV and all the rest of it, our response is, oh, like vagina in the White House, for example. I don't see a contradiction there, because I don't think you should give jobs on the basis that you're a thick concept. I'm just wondering about the vector of attack, though. Thanks, guys. The way I would respond to it is that if you want, like, a woman president just because she's a woman, then, like, and at the same time you think women are, as Cardi B put it, women are wet holes, Cardi B 2020, but in my view, you are then the one that's reducing women to just the constituent parts that in Plato's, like, Plato would be proud, pretty much. But yeah, I'm just wondering how you'd respond to that if someone asked you about it in a debate.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong that by just merely reducing women to the wet hole, that they've definitely made a very thin concept out of what a woman is. It's very one-dimensional. If I were a woman, I'd be deeply insulted by this. And imagine if there was a male equivalent, cock and balls 2022. You know, like, I'd be like, look.
Let's get my vote.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's like, look.
It'd be a laugh.
I just want a guy with a cock and balls in the White House. It's time.
You remember, D's nuts.
Basically, yeah.
What did he get, like 20% at one point he was polling? Yeah, in like the early primaries.
but this is the point, though. It's like reducing people to like this singular essential characteristic. It is devaluing, and I would find it offensive. But I guess modern feminists, believe someone when they tell you who they are, right?
Part 4 of The Principle of Mayhem, Where God Administers Justice. Cain kills Abel. He feels really good about this, thinking he's going to get all of Abel's stuff. God shows up and asks, "Where's Abel?" Cain's like, "I don't know." And God says, "I do. You killed him." And then God curses Cain, saying, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." Then Cain says, "But Satan made me do it. And I was angry because you accepted his gift and not mine. And I can't stand this punishment. It's awful. And anybody that finds me is going to kill me." And God says, "Whosoever slayeth thee, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And I, the Lord, set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." And Cain was shut out from the presence of the Lord. And with his wife and many of his brethren dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden.
Honestly, I don't know how Cain thought he was going to get away with it. Did you?
Sure, we already did that comment as well.
Possibly, but like, imagine God's like, "Where's Abel?" Dunno. I'm God. I know everything, and I know what you know. And I'm asking as a mere formality to see if you're going to come clean and redeem yourself somewhat by not lying to my face. I know, and it's honestly, I feel the same way about my kids. Like, because there are times, like, no, seriously,
I am God.
Well, you are to your kids, basically. You're the arbiter and dispenser of justice and the provider of resources. And so when your kid's face is covered in chocolate, it's like, "Did you steal the chocolates?" And they're like, "No." It's like, I'm God, though, and I know you did, you know, so.
I've got this omnipotence of having eyes.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the Alex Jones and Neighbor song I was telling you about. Can't hear
it. I'll admit it. I'm not letting my kids die. I'm somebody that ought to fix this, and I'm starting to think about having to eat my neighbor. I'm going to haul him up by a chain. I will eat your ass. I'll do it. You think I like.
How much work went into this? Like, you have to make the studio, you know, some kind of program.
My children are going hungry. Dancing. I will eat your ass. Oh, eat your ass. I'm literally looking at my neighbors now. Going,
as someone who has been in the InfoWars studio, they did a good job of replicating.
My superpower is being honest. And I will eat your ass.
I am deeply jealous of the studio that he has there. It's amazing.
I want the globalist to know.
It's way bigger. It's just this huge sort of hangar. We should get massive tele screens and stuff like that. It's amazing. Oh, dude. That is surprisingly good.
I really like how Alex's fan base as well are proper committed. Like, there's loads of these things. This is just one guy who makes them who's really talented. But
good stuff.
Goofy memes. Love goofy memes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, should we go to the comments on the...
Yeah.
You want to read them?
Ariel Tolkien says, Cena has B-grade movie career to protect. It's all about the corporate payday. Yeah, it is. And the thing is as well, instantly, you know, when he's like, LeBron James says, oh, there'll be financial damages. Yeah, exactly. That's what this is about. It's about money. And you know it. No bank holiday for the load seaters, it seems. Cases like Cena make me really appreciate the age of the internet. Now you are easily informed on how much celebrities hate you and how easily they sell out. Before you could be fooled by their charisma or acting ability and mistake twats like Jim Carrey or Robert Downey Jr. to be nice people. Yeah, it's really interesting. One of the, I don't know if it's a curse or not, but the interesting revelations of the modern era is pulling away of the veil, right? Because celebrities used to have really good reputations. Because they'd be in films, they'd do like, you know, puff interviews on like Graham Norton or something. And I'm like, oh, they're so nice. And now we get to see absolutely everything all over Twitter, all the time, all over Facebook. It's constantly circulating. Like, I'm somehow aware that Johnny Depp is like suing Amber Heard or something. And, I've seen literally tens of thousands of people on Facebook cheering him on because she's obviously a bitch. And... like, I don't know anything about this. I don't...
like, we've got all the hidden conversations.
Exactly. We've got all of the stuff. And he's obviously not the guy who's instigating all of this. But this wouldn't have been such public knowledge like 20 or 30 years ago, you know? So I guess it's a blessing, but it means that all of those celebrities you liked, yeah, it turns out they're like pedos or something, or, you know, worse. Hey, there are serious allegations against literally every celebrity you can think of.
In all of LA, all of Hollywood.
Yes, Hollywood appears to be just some sort of pedo factory. Anyway.
Did McCarthy do anything wrong?
McCarthy.
When he accused all of Hollywood of being communist pedos?
No. Well, okay. How was he wrong? Yeah. Carbohydrate Crusader says, with WWE being owned by Vince McMahon, who is friends with Trump, and Cena being a star there for years, I would always assumed he'd be kind of based. Sad seeing another American star sucking the CCP penis. It's one of those things, because obviously wrestling looks very much like a pro-Trump event, and Trump has featured in WWE before, because why not? It'd be a laugh. So I always assumed they were kind of like, you know, very Trumpish. But I guess that Chinese money's tempting. Omar says, after this latest carb rebellion, I won't be surprised when Carl installs a telescreen in all the rooms to keep everyone keto compliant. Well, I have the instructions from Orwell on how to do it. I think a quick visit to the Ministry of Sugar will put things back in order. What is Callum's greatest fear that you would use to get him to betray his pastry mistress, TF Allspark? Well, if I said, then it would lose the impact when I finally drag him into room 101 and have him exposed to it, so I can't reveal.
Did Julia ever say what happened to her in room 101?
I don't think she did.
Because I think that's also...
she just admit that she betrayed Winston.
But I gotta wonder if that's also purposeful, like what happens in room 101 sort of stales there kind of thing. Like,
it's personal, isn't it? It's personalized to you. So
do you really want to tell someone else that your massive fear is rats eating your face alive? Or
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't tell someone.
No. So
my worst fear is being given loads of money, and
Oh no, O'Brien! No,
I'm surrounded by wet ass pussy. Oh no!
Oh, it's Cully B. Come on.
Better than rats eating off your face, isn't it?
I suppose.
Matthew, no, China, please stop. Matthew Hammond says, wrestling is supposedly super popular in China. John Cena learned Mandarin Chinese to get closer to this fan base. Oh, there we go. Todd Brickley says, soon it will be France has always been a part of China. Yep. Well, basically true. FinTuck says, it feels to me that China is treating America now like the British emissaries before the Sino-British Wars. Yeah, the Opium Wars. Yeah, the... You can always tell who's got the power in these circumstances by the way the diplomats act. Like the Romans used to, like, there's one example of the Romans sending a diplomat over to Antiochus III, and they were like, oh, you're going to do this, this, and this, and Antiochus said, well, I've got to think about it. The Roman diplomat just takes a stick, draws a circle around Antiochus where he's standing. He's like, give me an answer before you step out of that circle. It's like, who the hell are you? I'm the king of Asia. You're who? You know, it's like, I'm the guy with the legions. You know that I'm in charge here. So just, you know, give me that decision.
So that's interesting as well. From the people I've met, they've always said during the last few decades of human history, the Americans have always been a bit dickish about everything as well. Sure. And if they've lost it, then He's got power.
Well, that's the thing. When Trump was tweeting, you know, swinging dick things from his bathroom, then everyone kept their mouth shut. No one was mouthing off. But now it's Biden. Everyone's like, right, okay, the will isn't there. You know, the strength might be there, but the will isn't there. So it's not going to be used. So the Chinese can now act as if they're the ones who run the world. And that's not good. But thank you, Finn. I'm not eating bread proudly like some sort of degenerate. What's wrong with you? Duffy B says, if only it was Cena, if only Cena was really saying the Republic of China, Taiwan is the only legitimate China, but no, he's spewing more sewage than a treatment plant. Yeah, I think he really should be like, I really apologize to West Taiwan. I don't know what I did to offend them, but Chad Koala says, it's going to be pretty jarring to watch Cena playing tough guy roles now, now that we know his balls are in China's purse. Yeah, isn't it? Like, isn't that disgusting? Like, it's one thing playing a tough guy on TV, and then you can always just juxtapose it with him literally kissing the taint of Xi Jinping. Heathcliff says, there is Section 127 responses, just like the response I got when I wrote to my MP about the BBC license fee. It is what it is, because it is. Get back in line. Daniel Williamson says, we should Americanize without getting rid of the monarchy. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Just, we need just a, you know, an update to the constitutional monarchy.
It's not even too much to ask.
No.
Like, that's the thing with the Conservatives. Like, you keep getting elected on all these promises that are good promises. And, like, the you know, the immigration one, for example. I mean, how many years have the Conservatives been in charge?
We'll get it down still, to the tens of thousands.
Still nowhere near. I mean, not even budge. I mean, it's actually gone up.
Yeah, I know.
Since they started. So.
We're waiting. But why can't we just have a First Amendment? Look, we're not going to police offence on the internet. Just don't commit these crimes, you know, like paedophilia, sex trafficking, whatever else. You know, revenge porn, I'm happy with that, you know. Yeah, these are all...
I mean, just write... I mean, I know how the Parliament works. You can overwrite anything. Yeah. So just write some bill that's like, the British people have freedom of speech to, you know, be offensive, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then if Labour does get in power one day, I mean, watch them rip up that bill.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll know what they're about.
Well, and we already know what they're about. But, like, well, that's the point, isn't it? You know, we could do with some sort of, I don't know, constitutional amendment, maybe. Michael Watter says, protect the citizens from harm. Okay, but the only harm is the fines, jail, community service that you're giving out. Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, the only harm seems to be coming from the state, so please do repeal yourselves. Andrew says, Callum dares to diss wrestling. I renounce bread and take my oath as a Sargonian daddist. There we go, Callum.
This is wrestling, sir. Get your gay porn and leave this bar. You haven't seen the South Park thing?
No.
Some wrestling teacher comes to the South Park and he's teaching them how to do proper wrestling.
Yes, yes.
And not like fake wrestling. Yeah. And he goes around and everyone's just like, dude, that's just gay porn. Leave me alone.
Has Carl seen the original Conan the Barbarian movie? When I was a kid. It would be a good movie to do an in-depth look at. Lots of themes of personal strength. The movie shows you how decadence makes you weak and softens your body and mind, and shows you how struggle against adversity makes you stronger, faster and smarter versus endless pleasures of the flesh, which makes you weak and easy to control. Well, that does sound good, actually. I must have been like a teenager. Yanal says, Liz Truss for Prime Minister, third time's a charm. Yes, it is.
It's amazing, actually. All the good people at the Conservative Party right now are all women.
Yeah.
Well, you got Priti Patel, Liz Truss, Kemi Badenoch.
Dominic Raab's all right.
Dominic Raab? I don't know much about him, to be honest.
He's the one who a few years ago came out and was like, well, actually, I think feminists are insufferable bigots.
I think, isn't he? Because the thing in my mind, the only thing I really know him for is when he said, the only person I take the knee for is the Queen.
Yep.
But then he backed down on it and was like,
Yeah, I know. But he did actually come out and defend his position on feminism. And this was back in like 2015, 2016, when it wasn't exactly popular to be against feminism. And he was like, no, I think feminists are obnoxious bigots, and I stand by that. And I was like, bravo, well done.
Yeah.
You know, that's good.
But that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you can point to Priti Patel, you can point to Liz Truss, you can talk to Dominic Raab, Kemi Badenoch. Who can you point to in Labour as a leading light?
Well, I mean, Jeremy Corbyn, but in the opposite direction.
But like all the Labour people, even from a Labour mindset, like you can't point to anyone there and think enthusiastic about them.
Well, I mean, it depends what you want, doesn't it?
I mean, all they've got is Corbyn.
Yeah, if you want communism, then you've got Corbyn, McDonnell, you've got Lisa Nandy, you've got the Islamo-leftist brigade, like the Naz Shahs, what's the other one? The one who keeps posting really stupid stuff on her Instagram.
Oh, Nadia Whittam?
No, but that's one
Bella
of them.
Bella Riddy something? I don't remember her surname.
No.
There's like four or five of them. Yes. Yeah. They just endlessly post crap on Twitter.
Yeah. There's the most economically uninformed stuff in the world. And like you've got the, you know, see,
a curry costs £9 average wage.
Yeah.
Curries are worth more than people are. That's a real guy.
For anyone who doesn't know yet, so some Labour MP was Zara Sultana is the last.
Okay, well, there was like a minimum wage, whatever it is, curry more than that. Therefore, people worth less than curry. It was like you're a genius. You're an absolute. Our society values curry over people.
Yes, it does. Any more questions, dear Labour voter?
Have you thought about working for 2 hours? Yeah. And then you can buy the curry and then you're worth more than the curry.
Why are you measuring human worth in the number of curries, Labour?
But like, I love it if you take it smaller as well, because why an hour? I mean, you could take it to a second. What's the minimum wage for 1 second? Kinder eggs are worth more than humans.
I love Labour. Dylan says, Carl, did you know you can have keto scotch eggs? I would love keto scotch eggs. And the only thing that's not keto about scotch eggs is the breadcrumb on the outside.
Can you eat? Oh, no, oats wouldn't work, would it?
Nah. But yeah, no, you could make scotch eggs without the breadcrumb and they'd be keto.
It's dehydrated meat. You could chop it up and then put that as the crust. That'd work. Like bits of salami or bacon or whatever.
Yeah, but like, well, maybe bacon bits.
There we go.
I'm starting to think it might be a bit unhealthy now at this point, though. Yeah. I mean, we're
how many years you went to keto?
One and a half. Right. Tilius Ciceronis says, welcome back from the holiday, Carl. Thank you very much. I've been reading The Long Night of the Watchman, a collection of essays and letters by Hugo's compatriot Vaclav Bender. I'd love to hear from the Lysis take on the idea of the parallel polis. You might also find some Dadaist material in Bender's work as he discusses the importance of the family in society and what it was like for him and his wife to raise their 5 children under totalitarianism. Keep up the great work, gentlemen.
Sorry, the reason I laughed is I'm reading the chat and they're talking about setting up curry as the new fiat currency, like curry coin and whatnot. It's worth more than humans.
Have you got any more comments? That's all I've got on this.
I don't think I do on here.
Yeah.
I think Ranveer's doing the comments today. Right. At least I seem so. I'll go to the website and reload it on here.
Yeah.
So, two number nines. Really bored of all the companies like BT Sport and all the end with their end online hate virtue signaling. At least they at least they shut down their social media for a weekend to end hate forever. So I guess it won't be an issue anymore. Feel like in a constant state of rolling my eyes nowadays. Yeah, I think I told you about this a while back, where they did like a weekend to end hate. Mm-hmm. And the way the leftists were going to do this was that all the leftists were going to log off social media for a weekend.
God, I bet that was a lovely weekend on social media.
I know, but what an admission as well.
Like, yeah, but there was very little hate.
There's loads of hate on social media. To stop it, we're all going to log off.
Based.
Like, who's doing all the hate then? I mean, it's like the Liverpool Walton CLP guy from the Labour compilation. It's like Liverpool Walton CLP, 87% Labour, the largest Labour seat in all of the country, and we're kicking the fascists out of Liverpool. It's like, who's the fascist then? Dumbass. Anyway. Omar Arwet, after this latest carb rebellion, I wouldn't be surprised when Carl installs a telescreen. Oh, I've read that one. George Happ, no bank holiday for the Lotus Eaters, it seems. Cases nope. Like Cena make me really appreciate the age of the internet. Now you are easily informed about how much celebrities hate and how they're easily to sell out.
I'm sure we've done that one too.
Okay, have we? I'll have to reload the whole page then. There we go. That should load. Henry Aslan, happy Memorial Day, Carl and crew. Memorial Day? Is that an American holiday?
I believe it is an American holiday.
Sorry, we don't have that. Yeah. Paul Reed, lad's Bible stolen your music. What?
Everyone's stealing our music.
Well, Sky News Australia used it as well. Yeah. But I assume that was a dog whistle because they're like, hey, you're cool.
Yeah, because Sky News Australia are based.
Lad Bible, they're not based.
Yeah,
they're cringe. Yeah. No, they honestly are. They keep doing woke stuff. Yeah. It's just like,
Why does everyone keep stealing our music? We're always so far ahead of the curve.
Just even the fucking music. I mean, just buy another track. Anyway, Daniel Williamson. Women are a thick concept unless they're catwalk model. Okay. I also like
or
the
a
idea
politician.
You were saying about like hiring them on the basis of being thick concepts. Like, I want to see the meeting where the guy's like, I'm going to hire thickies only. The land of white people, forward to ketotocracy. No. Duffy B. Carl employs the keto dome, destroying the baguette launched by roll throwers.
Well, that's because you Palestinian bread eaters. You just need to stop objecting to the annexation of breadland.
Breadland.
By the keto imperialists.
Richard Jones, have you guys seen the immigration refugee propaganda being put up at the Imperial War Museum? No, I have not. God. Wait, can you look that up on there? Or?
No, I cannot.
John, if you can look that up. Imperial War Museum refugee propaganda. I'm sure there's some good stuff. Alexander Schoenberg's posting Seed. Okay. You know that this, the what is it, Fred and Sneed?
Yes, yes, I know the one, yeah.
Yeah. The Chuckin. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, no, refugee. Refugee, not LGBT. I'm sure they've done some stuff.
Oh, they do.
LGBT,
I mean, you can see it. It's all come up.
Did you know you can be gay in the army? Yep. It's been a long time. No one cares. Joseph Woodland. Just think how many of these problems would be solved by installing a Macedonian elective monarchy as our new form of government. It comes as a meal deal with a built-in service guarantee citizenship.
I mean, it's not a terrible idea, to be honest.
What did the Macedonians do for a government? Because I don't actually know.
Well, they had a monarchy.
Was it? Just
what do you mean that was it? Then they conquered Persia.
Fair enough. Done more than me.
more than most people.
Oh, boy. Richard Jones. Average man. I believe I should be allowed to love an adult human female. Wokest. Your belief is hateful. Average man. What the fuck?
You're basically a Nazi. This is one step away from concentration camps. How dare you, sir? Also, it's homophobic.
Oh, boy. I mean, that was a question actually put to the lady from Stonewall. By the BBC interviewer, which was, well, is it kind of weird to say to a lesbian activist that she needs to have sex with a trans man? Mm-hmm. And she kind of blushed it off and didn't give a real answer. That's why I didn't include it. But it's just like, they know. They know that it's nonsense. They've asked all these questions. They've
suck
thought about
the feminine penis.
And they just know that the answer they want to give, suck the feminine penis, is not yet acceptable, I guess.
But the thing is, it is inevitable. Like they have divorced the idea of gender from the essential view of sex, and that means that literally there's unless you are going to continue assuming the biological roles of male and female, then you have to disconnect it, which means there is nothing female about a vagina and male about a penis, by their logic. Obviously there can't be, otherwise you're appealing to a biologically essentialist position, and so they have to be like, well, yeah, there's no such thing as a male penis.
Like, it's so obviously wrong.
Yeah,
that's what gets
any
me.
Person can get pregnant.
Like, any normal person or even any left-winger should be able to see through this. Never mind the Conservative government.
Like, Conservative government's like, well, we don't have a single thought about any of this subject.
Like, so, except Liz Truss. I don't know if I sent you the clip. What was it? Nick Ferrari asked her, is it fair to say that women have vaginas? Liz Truss' response, women have vaginas, Nick. That was it. That was the interaction.
Base?
<Just like, I> mean... But it's just like, I posted it on Twitter, just like, look what they've done to us. And I feel like we should start using that as a meme. Because it's just like, look at what they're making us debate.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
Well, this was like the video in 2020 or 2019 where, what's her face from the Liberal Democrats? What was her name?
Oh, God. Oh, she's useless woman.
Yeah.
Jo Swinson.
Was asked on the radio live to just define what is a woman. And she spent 20 minutes melting down because she couldn't. And now Liz Truss just were like, women have vaginas. Men have peepees. official government policy of the Conservatives.
Part of the new Conservative book for three-year-olds and up.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got in the distance Stonewall going, you're Nazis! You know, it's like, what are we doing?
Liz Truss is like, yeah, women have vaginas. She's like, you hate the Jews.
But look at what they've done to us. It's definitely a good meme for this, I think.
Yeah.
Very good meme.
So Diana Kiss says, quote, your belief causes harm. Is your government hunting down rogue psychers? Essentially.
That is genuinely how they're being treated, actually. As if... No. That's legit how they're being treated. Like,
Count Dankula is a psycher.
Yeah, Posey Parker is being treated like a rogue psycher in the Imperium. Because, she's got mind things. What? There's something in her mind. Don't listen to her. Don't speak to her. Don't do anything because her mind will affect you and you will change and it will be harmful. And it's... Honestly, they are treating them literally like rogue psychers. Mad. The imperial truth is being undermined by the rogue psychers. They have to be hunted down and sacrificed to the emperor. God damn it. That's honestly how we are.
Yeah. I mean, Posey Parker should tell him, just go, whoa, 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 and you're converted. But it's because our arguments are that simple. Women are women. I agree with that. Nothing more said, putting on the red robe. Anyway, Ruben Sanchez. I don't understand all this trans BS. Since when do these people care what a bunch of dudes think? Yeah. Not a bad point.
Mm.
Long talks on the Nietzsche. Polymatter had a video on China's international PR, and the point they made is that these bizarre statements from the CCP are designed to invite criticism because the CCP controls what the public sees. They use them to make China seem like the underdog on the geopolitical stage, to foment nationalism and party support. It's the Anis Sarkeesian Twitter harassment grift on a geopolitical scale. That's a great point.
Well, I don't see why we should have expected anything differently, really. I mean, what's the core philosophical difference between the CCP and the Sarkeesian, really?
Same philosophy that guides their utterances, as Jordan Peterson would say.
There we go.
But it's a great strategy as well. I mean, you could say, like, Germany, you know all about the Holocaust. And then everyone turns around and is like, wow, you guys are lower than scum. I mean, you guys are dogs. And you just, like, take that pot, put it on TV, done.
But then I don't really want to be in defense of Germany, so.
Yeah. Who's worse, China or Germany?
Just kidding. Well, Nazi Germany and CCP, what's the difference?
Yeah, what's worse, German philosophy or German philosophy?
Yeah, exactly. Organized Germanism is still on the march.
What was the guy that wrote that book? Franz Kaufmann?
AJP Taylor.
No, organized Germanism.
Oh, yeah, but that was just the name of... Like, that was a common thing, you know. AJP Taylor,
really?
AJP Taylor talks about the price of organized Germanism and his history of Germany.
So people that don't know what we're talking about, there was a book we ran across a while back in which this Jewish guy during World War II decided he would make a pamphlet calling for the extermination of all Germans, and he called it "Germany Must Perish," and it was his plan for the destruction of the German state and all German people by being forced sterilized.
I mean, it was picked up by the Nazis as a...
Yeah, like Roosevelt had to issue a statement disavowing it. That's how much of an incident it caused. But it was obviously like genocidal nonsense. But there were a couple of points in there that were really interesting in which he described Nazism.
But hang on a second.
He described Nazism as organized Germanism.
Yes.
It was just really funny because he's just like, yeah, there's these cultural points. And if you put them into a political philosophy, you end up with kind of socialist thinking.
I mean, communism is organized Germanism too.
All socialism is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to end here because we run out of time, but go give that a read.
I like the way that we start any podcast and we end with, so, disavow organized Germanism. See you tomorrow.
It's the same thing every day. Anyway, so if you want more content from us, go to loadseers.com, sign up there. Especially go and check out the Posey Parker interview. If you sign up for £5 a month, you'll get access to all the premium content. It's totally worth your time. Otherwise, we will see you tomorrow again at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.